K213ET Eagle Nest, K216CU Cuba, online at KUNM.org.
What is the difference between George Washington and a duck?
I don't know. What?
One has a bill on its face, the other has his face on a bill.
You're tuning into the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
Hey, child, up and go. A big world is out there waiting for us to live in every day.
It's a beautiful time.
From a CD called The Lovely Years. And maybe these are them. This is Katie Stone, and it is a beautiful life. And I'm here on the Children's Hour. We are live and local right here in Oñate Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico, in with a whole studio of wonderful people. Hello, everyone. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
good morning to you. Let's start over here. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Elliot.
Hi, I'm Anna.
Hi, I'm Siobhan.
Hello, I'm Haley.
Hi, I'm Michelle.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Madeline.
Quack!
I'm Maggie.
Okay, Maggie's quacking
Hi,
up.
I'm Jude.
Hi, Jude. And back in the background, we've got Nola and Imogene and Gray and...
Hey, I'm Jen.
And our good friend Jen Schutz is visiting us. Hey!
Yay!
Now the party has started.
And our good friend Michelle is visiting us. Hello.
Hello.
We like to call you Congresswoman because indeed you are.
Indeed I am. But you know, on this show with all these wonderful kids and with you, Katie, we're just all friends. So you can call me Michelle if you want.
Aw.
Cool. Awesome.
Aw. Well, anybody have news in the studio?
Since we did a duck joke, this month we're... my family and I, this month on, like, like the weeks of like March 13th to that area, we're gonna get 4 ducks and 25 little baby chicks.
Aww.
They're gonna be little babies and they're gonna be adorable.
We think you should bring them to the studio.
Yeah, one day. They'll be special guests.
Special guests.
That's right. I had ducks in my office, baby ducks.
Special guests.
4.
In your office in Washington?
I did. I caught them because their mother wasn't there, and they were going to get run over on the highway. So I pulled over, and I caught them all, and I brought them to my office, and then we gave them to a wildlife refuge who saved them.
Now we know Congress is really quacking up. That is so cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Any other news in the studio? No lost teeth? No, everybody's just hanging in there? Elliot?
I lost a tooth.
You did? Ooh. Oh, nice. Yeah. Madeline?
I have a very, 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 very loose tooth.
Excellent.
So like, I'm like, it's the last little string.
Cute.
So
ew.
Yeah. I have nothing.
You have nothing.
I'm sorry to
have
a loose
tooth. Oh, goodness gracious.
I have a half tooth in my mouth.
Ew.
Ew,
I am not regretting asking. I'm regretting asking.
Why do you have to bring
in
the tooth?
Okay.
Oh,
teeth
okay.
Aside, people in the studio here, we have our congresswoman, Michelle Lujan Grisham, as we've heard a little bit. And we're going to talk with her more about life in Congress in Washington. What is it like? We have a lot of questions for you, actually, Congresswoman Michelle.
Perfect.
Our buddy Michelle. And, you know, speaking of which, we thought we'd play you a little. This is kind of how we feel about you on the Children's Hour. So we're going to play this for you.
I'm ready.
Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour right here in KUNM. We've got a whole great show lined up for you. It is officially March is National Women's History Month, and we're celebrating that by having our woman, Congresswoman, here in the studio with us. Plus, we're going to tell you, why is March National Women's History Month? Why March? Why not July? Why? You always want to know?
We should ask March why it's. We should get March on the show and question it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how we would do that, but let's
well,
try.
Isn't March always here?
Oh yeah, well, she'd be like, "Hey, March, why are you?" We'll ask you questions.
I don't know that
and
the
they
month.
Respond with.
Yes, exactly. That's how my calendar responds. This is our love song to our congresswoman. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
Thank you.
that is, of course, the Beatles from Rubber Soul and a 2009 remastering of Rubber Soul. Michelle is in our studio. Michelle Lujan Grisham.
Good morning.
We love you. We love you.
Oh, who knew you could sing, Katie? That's I'm going to make you do that now on the floor of Congress. Sing that to me.
Oh, goodness. That will be the day. Well, Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham, thank you for being with us this morning on the Children's Hour.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to be here. I love being home. I don't get to be home as much as I'd like, but my job requires, of course, that I'm in Washington. So what a great deal that I get to be in Albuquerque this beautiful Saturday morning.
Well, what a nice start for us, too, that you just said that, because I think we want to know, starting off, what do you do? What does a congresswoman do?
You know, when things are really working, we have three major responsibilities. One, Ooh. We're the policymakers. And what that really means is it's our job to introduce bills that become law, so to pass laws that the federal government implements in all the states. So, for example, things like health care and education, Congress is responsible for passing laws that make all the rules for kindergarten and elementary school and junior high and high school and college. So you got to do that. Two, you got to make sure that the federal government's accountable, right? Because even though you pass a bill or a law, sometimes it doesn't quite work. They don't do it right, or they don't spend the money right. It's my job to make them do it right. And the third thing, and this is the most important for me, is that every New Mexican, every person in my district who has difficulty with anything, whether it's a federal issue or a local issue or a neighborhood issue, your neighbors, just things aren't working out, I can help solve those problems. And we do thousands of those cases. We get people their veterans benefits and their Social Security benefits. We save their homes from foreclosure. We help them adopt children, and we weigh in when there's all sorts of, you know, difficulties that people are really struggling with. And so that's the most important job I think we do.
I bet you're busy now.
We're busy now. Yeah. We're really busy now.
Kids have so many questions for you. Let's start over here with Elliot. What's on your list here, Elliot?
What can kids do?
You know, actually, you're doing it. So here's something I've noticed. I got elected in 2012, all right? So this is my fifth year in Congress. And you know what? There are a lot of kids who don't know anything about government or anything about the country or anything about what a democracy is, because we don't teach civics, right, in our schools anymore. And we don't teach anything about New Mexico history. And the fact that you're on this radio program and you're asking questions and you're interested means that you're participating, right? You're participating in the things that we think are important. And as kids in particular, what do you think about school? What do you think about the air? What do you think about the environment? What do you think is right about your friends? What do you think about how the whole world should look? I need kids to be telling me about that stuff, and you should be directly involved so kids can make a difference.
That's a great answer. And are you all getting involved? Do you write your congresspeople? Have you ever done that? Anybody?
Right.
It's so easy
write a
to do.
Or...
Yeah. Especially with email.
A letter or an email. You can even call, and we'll respond. And my most meaningful letters are letters that kids in New Mexico or around the country write to me about things that they worry about. And sometimes I have to say it really touches my heart, and it's very sad to have kids write to me and tell me that they don't have enough food, and or that they do, but they know that the kid that sits right behind them doesn't, or that they're worried that they go home and there aren't parents there. And we check up on those kids, and we go to those schools, and it's really important to me when I get a letter like that.
Wow. Anna, yeah.
What's it like being a female politician in a male-dominated Congress?
It's great, because I know how much more women we need and how much better Congress would function. And that sounds like I'm being mean to the men, but I'm not at all. You know, the problem is that men and women actually, this is scientific, we think about things a bit differently, and we work on problems differently. And it takes both men and women to really solve problems. And here's the issue. Only 104 women out of 535 members of Congress. That's 20%. There are almost 51% women in the United States. So we're actually more than half. And what does a democracy mean? It means the way that we work our government is that every voice matters. But if you have more than half the population is women, but the people who are making all the rules are less than that 50%, then something's wrong with the system. And we need more women. So that's hard. That means that I don't get to be in leadership roles as often as I should. That means that I don't get to work on family issues and educational issues and kids issues as much as I want because I don't get to set the agenda. So that's the problem with working in a male-dominated Congress. There's not enough female voices to set the agenda that could make a difference in our whole world.
Was your family in Congress?
My family was in Congress. My cousin, a gentleman by the name of Manuel Lujan, was in this very same seat, which means he represented Albuquerque and the surrounding areas. And he held that seat, and you got to get elected every 2 years, so it's hard, for the longest term, the longest series of years of anybody so far representing. And interestingly enough, he's not my cousin because he's a Lujan. He's my cousin because he's a Romero. And he's a Republican, and I'm a Democrat.
We're two different parties. So to this day, your cousin, or your cousin, Manuel Lujan, is the longest serving.
Continuous for this district.
Well, of course, he's not in now.
He's not in now, but he was also the Secretary of Interior. So that's a really important leadership position for someone from New Mexico. So my whole family, of course, is very proud of him. And I think they're very proud of me, too. And we show that actually you can have a bipartisan environment, even in your own family, and still solve problems.
Wow. Yeah. Mags.
Were you involved with the government when you were a kid?
You know, I really wasn't. I came to this in, I think, a pretty unique way. So, and this will happen, I bet, to each and every one of you. At some point early, Mags, right now for you maybe, or later after college, you have to figure out what you want to do and how you want to do it and whether or not that's how you make your living, right, or whether you just want to volunteer and engage in your community. And I struggled with that decision. I thought I was going to be a scientist, and then I thought I was going to, I went to law school, so I was going to do scientific lawyering, which is what we call copyright or patent lawyering. And you asked me when I was first here, Mags, whether I was an introvert or not, and I'm not. I'm an extrovert, right? So those jobs weren't good for me, and I volunteered where I was working for and on behalf of senior citizens. And you know what? It made such a difference in my life. Every day I went home, I felt good about my work. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a lawyer for older people and their families. And that led me to government jobs and appointments. And that led me to a desire to want to be elected. And I lost my first election. And I won all my other elections after that.
Yeah, Elliot has a question for you.
Are there any books that inspired you to work in Congress?
You know, I can't say that there were any books, but there were lots of people who inspired me, right? There were people in Congress after we just got through with election, you know, when I was working in state government, when then First Lady Hillary Clinton was working in the White House, and she was focused on kids and kids' health care. And my sister was very sick. And the work that Hillary Clinton did to make sure that really sick kids could get insurance, because my sister couldn't, boy, that meant a lot to me. And I was old enough to get to work then, you know, on that on healthcare. So that inspired me. But there are so many other women and so many other New Mexicans that I watched making a difference every day for somebody else. That it was that kind of love for making a difference in somebody else's quality of life that inspired me to want to go to Congress.
Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham has joined us here on the Children's Hour in our studio live today. We have a ton of questions for her. We're going to come back with a few more questions in just a second. But I wanted to lead off with this question to you just to think about before we play a song and ask you, our current administration is doing some things that seem like they're in opposition to our Bill of Rights. And our Bill of Rights, of course, are all those wonderful amendments that give us the right to be here right now on public radio speaking to you, people in your homes, and also the right to have free speech and the right of so many things, all those Bill of Rights, the right to privacy. And I wanted to ask you, as a congresswoman, is there anything you all are planning or cooking up to protect our Bill of Rights?
Yeah, absolutely. But this is a really hard question, Katie, because certainly every American respects the office of the presidency, right? And every American respects, I hope, and understands that our Constitution and our Bill of Rights are really clear about three branches of government, and that, you know, our fairness and our protections is what makes us free, which is why this country is the envy of all countries in the entire world, because of the way in which we do that. And there are many members of Congress, both parties, who are very concerned that there appears to be sort of an assault, because we've got a president with no government experience whose sense of it all is, I can just tell you what to do, and it doesn't matter what the law says, I can just do it. And so we're beginning to look at serious investigations. We know we're some folks have left the administration already. Folks are recusing themselves. I'd like more resignations. I think you're seeing Congress now really start to be much more engaged and less of, let's give any administration, including this one, a chance, and more of, let's do our jobs to make sure the Constitution's upheld.
We're talking with Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham. She represents the 1st District. Am I right?
You're right.
1st District.
Number
one for a reason. And we have a lot more to talk with her about. Lots more questions in the studio here. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. This is from a CD called Schoolhouse Rock, The Vote.
Now I'm a peaceful man, I do the best I can, and I don't go picking fights. But there's one dang thing that gets my dander up when they start messing with my Bill of Rights. Yes, I'm a busy man, a good American, and I can't chase fires or kites. But I'll sure find time if I should hear of the crime that they've been treading on the Bill of Rights. Now when they'd first begun, they wrote the Constitution, ratified in 1788. And then in 91, with lots of work to be done, they wrote the first 10 amendments that made this country great. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press, the right to assemble and to redress our grievances, and the freedom of religion. Oh yes, privacy and freedom from search, and the right of trial by jury, and other rights to be reserved to the people. Oh yes, and I'll be standing right there, and there'll be plenty good fights if they start messing with my Bill of Rights. It's not just me, it's you, we've got to see it through, that the lamp of freedom lights. We cannot be afraid to man the barricade when they start cheating on our Bill of Rights. And when you lay your head on your sleeping bed, just remember this advice. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Keep an eye out for your Bill of Rights. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press, the right to assemble and to redress our grievances, and the freedom of religion. Oh yes, privacy of freedom from search, the right of trial by jury, and other rights to be reserved to the people. Oh yes, and I'll be standing right there, right in the middle of the fight when they start messing with my Bill of Rights. Now the British have their Magna Carta, and the colonists have their charter. Well, we've got something that's the talk of the world, and that brought us to the heights. It's the Constitution and the first 10 amendments that they call the Bill of Rights. Now I'm a peaceful man, a good American, and I won't go picking fights. But there's one dang thing that gets my dander up when they start messing with my Bill of Rights. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom of religion. Oh yes, take care. Don't let them cheat you on the Bill of Rights. Beware you, you don't go messing with my Bill of Rights. Amen.
Amen. The Bill of Rights that is from the Schoolhouse Rocks The Vote CD. And I don't know about all of you, but I grew up with Schoolhouse Rocks. Do you all still do Schoolhouse Rock? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that is because I'm homeschooled.
We used to have a CD that was like my favorite thing to watch.
when I was little.
DVRs?
Yeah.
The big thick
the big ones? Yeah. The big fat ones?
VCRs.
Oh, VCRs. Oh, VCRs. Back in the day. Back in the day. You are tuned into the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. We are your public radio station for Central and Northern New Mexico. And if you're listening here in New Mexico, I know we have a lot of listeners online, and hello to you too. But if you are lucky enough to live in the 1st Congressional District, you not only live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, you have one of the coolest congressional leaders of all time.
I certainly think so.
You are cool. You keep your cool.
Okay, good, good.
You definitely
do. I'm a cool old lady. Tell everyone in Congress that.
You do not seem old. I'm just going to point that out. I mean, it could be that you're 4 foot something.
So I'm almost, you know, I'm edging into that 60 arena. And I'll tell you what's fantastic about Congress today is that young people, including young women, these are members in their 30s. So you can be elected at 25. That can be a tough thing, but we've got individuals who are now working on their elections at 25, 26. So they're elected and serving at 27 and 28. And it is a remarkable thing, because just like I said earlier, Katie, and to all the kids here, right, that you want the kind of perspective so that all these different voices are kind of colliding and also working together. We need younger voices. So it's great. Mm-hmm. So girls, boys, run for Congress.
You got it. You've been instructed. You have to be 25.
Got to be 25.
Okay. All right. Only a few of us are old enough here.
Only a few.
Okay.
My uncle's old enough because he's 21.
Oh, yeah. You have to wait. Okay. Anna, you have a great question here.
What has it been like switching from the Obama administration to the Trump administration?
You know what? It's been really hard. So now I'm going to be fair. Any transition is a little difficult. So you have all new people in federal government, all setting their agendas, trying to get Congress to either reauthorize things that they agree with or to dismantle things that they don't and start again. But here, this has been particularly hard because we've got a president who's declaring, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others, that the things that we rely on so that we're a good government are being thrown away. So we don't want any regulations, as an example, and we don't believe in the press. And to balance the budget, we want free public radio and the arts, and we want science to be out of government. Now, these are not strategies that make any sense. The strategies that you want a good government to use is to rely on science, to make sure that they think about ways to protect its citizens. And we can debate about how we do that. But when you decide that you don't want to do it at all, and for me right now, in Congress, the hardest thing that's occurring, and I'm in a place where I'm responsible for it. I'm in a leadership position. You know, this is a president who doesn't want anybody who's trying to be a citizen to stay in this country. And that has been an assault on so many moral levels for me and so many other community members and members of Congress. And I think the administration is trampling on due process. And if you don't, and for the kids here, if he doesn't just protect your rights, the rules, if he doesn't follow the rules for one person, he won't follow the rules for any persons. And that's a disturbing thing in this transition that I don't think any members of Congress have ever witnessed before.
Yeah. And
ever.
I got to say, from just an armchair sitting back here in New Mexico watching from the sidelines, I got to say, I mean, please don't be offended, but it kind of seems like Congress isn't doing anything about this. Like it's allowing families to be ripped apart, and and we're scared here. We have a lot of families who listen to the Children's Hour who are vulnerable and scared. And we have, you know, we had a couple weeks ago a refugee here named Rahim Al-Haj, beautiful man. I'm sure you've met him before. He is an Iraqi refugee. And, you know, he told us about how hard it was to get here in the first place and how hard it has been to feel comfortable right now.
And welcome. And something that's a harsh thing, but they're in real danger if they go home. So that's something that listeners and, you know, kids don't want that. They know what it's like to have a kid at school who feels bullied or threatened. We don't want that environment at all. So you're right, Katie. Congress isn't doing enough. And this is the issue, right? That when one major political party can stop the voices in Congress, and that's the Senate and the House, then it feels like not enough is getting done, and that's accurate. But guess what? Boy, Americans have been standing up, all political persuasions, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Green, all the things that we know that makes this sort of political soup work. They're all standing up and they're marching, and there's civil protests, and they're speaking out, and they're doing radio programs, and kids are saying, I want my parents to talk about these issues, and I want people to come to my school. And that is having a profound impact. And remember this. On like the first day we were back in Congress, Republicans in Congress tried to water down our ethics requirements. And people in the United States were furious, and that did not happen. So the power of your individual and then collective voices is really what has to keep occurring. So let's not forget that that's what causes Congress to respond productively. So keep it up.
Keep it up.
Albuquerque, keep it up.
Yeah.
CD1, keep it up.
Hang in there. Can you hang around
for just
a little bit longer? We're coming to, it's 9:30 here on the Children's Hour, and you guys know what to do.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
This is the Children's Hour here on KUNM, and we only have just a few more minutes of the time of our Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham here in the studio. I did just want to mention, you've been hearing a lot from her about Congress because that is where she is right now. She is running for governor, though, in the state of New Mexico, and that's kind of exciting. Not our first woman governor, and which is great, but you've broken other barriers for women already since you've been in Congress. Can you tell us about one of those? Maybe just throw out one to me. Maybe the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Has there ever been a woman leader of that before?
There has. In fact, there's been a woman, but I am the only woman who's gotten to be the chair in such a short amount of time because it's a really painful process in Congress to gain leadership positions. So to be the chair in just 4 years, I'm proud of that, is a feat in and of itself. And I'm a deputy whip, which is another leadership. When I first got elected, I was freshman president of the class, which is another leadership position. And there's only been three women serving New Mexico in Congress, but I'm the first New Mexican who's also Hispanic who's been. So women of color,
you mean,
really important.
You mean our other congresswomen who have served the state of New Mexico weren't born in New Mexico?
I need to check Georgia Lusk about whether she was born here, but Heather Wilson was not born here. And of course, neither of them were part of families that have sort of the institution 400 years in Congress. So we're going to need a Native American woman in Congress. We're going to need more Hispanic women in Congress. And to be the only woman in our delegation, let's make sure that New Mexicans think about making sure we're gender balanced and we're representing and reflecting the people who live here in a productive way.
Well, the kids have a bunch of questions for you, and I'm not sure which. Did you guys decide who goes first in this next section here? Okay you? Okay, Elliot.
How can we survive Betsy DeVos's education policies?
Oh, is it Betsy DeVos?
Yes. I think these kids, they're
paying attention. So
they're in school, and
right.
So this matters.
It does matter. So the nominee, so just to make sure our listeners know what we're talking about, Betsy DeVos is a woman who President Trump asked to serve in the highest rate position of authority for education in the country, and she has to go through a confirmation process. And in that, in the Senate, they asked her some hard questions, and she had things to say that really worried many, many Americans, but primarily a lot of New Mexicans. Here's what she said, just generally. One, she's not sure, right, that we ought to be doing anything for kids with disabilities, right, that they shouldn't be in the education system. Mm. Now, I'm paraphrasing a bit, so people should look, but basically said that special education isn't something we should be spending money on or time and attention. Two, when asked about violence in schools, she wasn't really concerned about that and thought schools could open their doors to having more weapons and guns and that teachers should be involved in that. And that was really disturbing to a lot of policymakers and senators. And then third, you know, she said that public education seems like it's stagnant. It's not really doing very well. So the way that we would make it better is to make it so competitive that parents were given, you know, basically these sort of choices that sound good. You know, I'm a parent. I want to have choice about school. But what it really means is that the federal government abandons taking your tax dollars and making sure that they go to a fair public education system that's available for every child, no matter where he or she is. And it's rural states. So little communities, Vaughn and Tucumcari and Silver City and Roy and Hatch, those are places that would really get hurt by these policies. And then after she was confirmed, now she's deciding that free lunch for kids, after I talked about the letters I get from kids who are hungry, is something we don't want to do or pay for. So what kids can do? Write letters to Betsy DeVos. Talk to her. Write to her. You know what? Let me tell you what my day is like at school. And let me tell you about some friends of mine. And let me tell you about my teachers and how overworked they are and how tired they are. And I want this to be better for every student. I want the fourth graders who come after me to know that the things that I care about are going to be here, because that's how we do it. And you can bet if you write to me, I'll take those right to Betsy DeVos. But we're fighting those policies in Congress. So that's the other thing. You got lots and lots of members of Congress who are going to fight that those are changes we don't want.
Betsy DeVos has her own website, BetsyDeVos.com. You can contact her through that. She's on Twitter, Betsy DeVos on Twitter. And of course, you can contact her right through your Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham.
Yes, you can.
And all of those contacts we're going to post later. And by the way, you can always post something to KUNM Kids on our Facebook page, where we peek at that as we're doing the show. And we have just a couple more questions for you. And this one's coming from Anna.
What do you want to say to people who are scared right now?
Oh, that's probably the toughest question I've been asked, right? I want to provide comfort to folks. I don't want anyone to be fearful. But I am gonna say that there are some real threats, in my opinion, to the democracy and to fairness. And I do want my constituents to be careful. So as an example, you know, this is really hard. I met with international students here at UNM, and I couldn't give them specific answers about how they would be treated or protected. And when I can't do that as an elected leader, then the best advice I can give you is to be careful, be very cautious, and to call us if you need us. And I can't promise that I can protect everyone, but I've actually said I'll go to the airport with you. And if you've got family in Mexico and your legal status is in question, because the federal government's not responding to renewals of any applications, then maybe I need to be at the border. But I can't do that for every person because there's just too many. So I need folks who are really frightened to make sure that they're connecting to their churches and their neighborhoods and their friends, that if they're very afraid to call us and see if we can weigh in and just provide some comfort. But the really terrible issue is, I think that there are a lot of folks whose fear is fairly real. And when it's real, until we can get it addressed, I want people to be mindful that things are so unsettled that it's sort of like when we talk to our kids about being safe and being in the present and being aware and telling your parents when you see things that aren't right, we're going to have to do that a lot right now. We need to share when things aren't right so that people like me can do everything we can to address it. But that's the best I can do, that there are people who care about you. There are people who are fighting for you. There are a lot of people who are going to do everything we can to bring justice and fairness and safety back to this country. But in the meantime, I just need people to be aware and to reach out when they need to.
And like white people like me who are citizens, who I have nothing to fear, right? Because I'm a white person like me. But can I do something for my friends and my neighbors?
Absolutely. I mean, dude, give them our numbers. Tell them to call their elected officials. Be wary. Be on the lookout. But I would just say to you that we should all be a bit fearful. I mean, I'm going to remind folks, even before, you know, our new president. Gosh, I was escorted and attempted to be detained at Social Security for no good reason.
Oh,
right?
I forgot about that. You got arrested basically at the Social Security
office. Arrested may be a little too strong.
That was so weird.
But it was very weird. And it just tells me that this whole police environment, and we should not be disrespecting anybody who does public service or public safety. And, you know, I think about all those officers that put their lives on their line, and I think about those families every morning that say goodbye when they go to work, right? That's hard. So we should be, I thank them. But in that same environment, you know, the balance of all of us having personal freedoms. It's just making sure that these things just don't go too far. So you know what, Katie, you are at risk, right? Because I just don't know. And people are asking questions that affect our privacy. Like, what about the folks on that airplane in New York where a federal agent said, nobody gets off the plane without showing me your ID? That had nothing to do with, you know, your ethnicity or your gender or your race or the color of your skin. In the front part, they were asking everyone. They were looking for someone that they wanted to deport. So in the end, it did have something to do with somebody who is ethnically different. Maybe was a bit, you know, a little different from us. So that makes me very upset. But I think everybody's at risk. I think there are some folks who are more at risk in this environment. And I want them to know that there are lots of folks who are fighting for them.
So Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham, how do folks reach you?
So there's a variety of ways, right? They can reach me online, and I've got a very long, you know, house.gov.com. You know, if you just Google Michelle Lujan Grisham, it'll immediately take you to our official websites. You can call us locally here, 346-6781, and we're always available. And if people really think that having me present at your church, your sanctuary, your shelter, your house, your neighborhood, I'll make every effort to be there. The only hard part is I travel every week to Washington, D.C., but I've got incredible people. There's a guy right here standing in the back, Gilbert Gallegos. He'll come. So before I got here, I was actually in Virginia at a church, Rising Hope, talking to all of the folks at that particular church and shelter that, you know, we're standing ready. I'm on standby anywhere in the United States to do what we can to make people feel safer and to protect them until we get this right. Until we get this right, there's hundreds, there's thousands of men and women who are stepping out and stepping up all over this country to do what they can to make sure that everybody on American soil feels like they've got the fair protections available to them.
Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham has been our guest this morning on the Children's Hour, and just delighted to have you in the studio with us again. Thank you so much, everybody. We want to thank her, right?
Thank you. Happy Saturday.
Thank you. Happy Saturday. Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham, call her, 505-346-6781. She is really responsive, I promise. And thank you. Thank you very much. You know what? This is another one going out to our congresswoman, because guess what? She is. She is brave.
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you. If you say what you want to say and let the words fall out, honestly, I
Sarah Bareilles. In 1987, Congress declared March as National Women's History Month in perpetuity. And, you know, President Jimmy Carter in 1980 designated March 2nd through 8th as National Women's History Week. And I just wanted to read what he said then, because this really fits for why do we do Women's History Month in March? Here's what President Jimmy Carter said in 1980. From the first settlers who came to our shores and from the first American Indian families who befriended them, men and women have worked together to build this nation. Too often the women were unsung and sometimes their contributions went unnoticed. But the achievements, leadership, courage, strength, and love of the women who built America was as vital as that of the men whose names we know so well. As Dr. Gerda Lerna has noted, women's history is women's right. It is an essential and indispensable heritage from which we can draw pride, comfort, courage, and long-range vision. And in that, he also urged America to pass an amendment to the United States Constitution, which still has not been passed. It's the Equal Rights Amendment. And here's what it says. It's a tiny amendment. Equal rights, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on the account of sex. And you know who passed the Equal Rights Amendment? New Mexicans. Your legislature passed it years ago. With enough states ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment, it can become an amendment to our Constitution. And that is something that would truly be historic for women. You're tuned into the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. This is the Yala chant from Natasha Atlas, the remix collection, right here on the Children's Hour.
It's the rhythm of the universe. Listen to the universe pulsating.
Kids can join the Bosquitos for bird watching in Corrales tomorrow at 10 a.m. with ornithologist John Egbert. They'll meet at the entrance area of Sprouts at the corner of Coors and Corrales Road. You should bring water and binoculars if you have them. And call Sarita Strang for more information. This is tomorrow in Corrales at 10 a.m. for bird watching with the Bosquitos. Sarita can be reached at 505-288-8713. And the mission of the Bosquitos is to learn about Albuquerque's bosque, the animals, the plants that live there, and how you can help take care of the bosque as a precious natural space.
Youth hip-hop classes by Cachette Dance Company are this weekend at the South Broadway Cultural Center for kids ages 5 to 10 years old. Sign up at southbroadwaytickets.com.
And at La Fonda on the Plaza in Santa Fe, several experts will demonstrate the ancient art of Paisanki, the intricately detailed Ukrainian Easter eggs. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. today. Call 505-983-2127 or visit Susan's Christmas Shop to learn more.
Susan'sChristmasShop.com.
Explore the science of clay on Mondays this spring in classes for kids and adults at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History. Sign up by calling Serelda at 505-948-1615 or go to nmnaturalhistory.org.
It's time for the KUNM Kids Birthday Club.
Happy birthday today.
Kids get a gift in the mail and a birthday shouted on the air.
Happy birthday, today is your birthday.
Like Julian Andres from Albuquerque, who's turning 9 years old today.
Happy birthday, Julian.
Happy birthday to Darren Capolinas Donato from Albuquerque, who is turning 10 years old on Wednesday.
Happy birthday, Darren.
Happy birthday to Zeta May Harris Martinez, who's turning 3 years old on Tuesday.
Zeta May Harris Martinez.
Happy birthday, Zeta May.
Happy birthday to Leah Hill from Albuquerque, who's turning 4 years old on Thursday.
Happy birthday, Leo.
Have a very happy birthday to Emily Christopher from Albuquerque, who's turning 8 years old on Friday.
Happy birthday, Emily.
These kids are getting a gift from us in the mail just for being in the KUNM Kids Birthday Club. The KUNM Kids Birthday Club is open to kids ages 12 and younger.
Join the club by emailing KUNMKids at KUNM.org with your name, birth date, and mailing address.
Find the Children's Hour page at KUNM.org. That's where we post our playlists and podcasts.
Podcasts can also be found on iTunes. Just search for the Children's Hour on KUNM.
We're on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us at KUNM Kids.
Stick with us on KUNM. Folk Roots is coming up next with Ron Hale, and that will be followed by Vosas Feministas at Noon. You've been listening to the Children's Hour, and we've been so grateful to have Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham in the studio with us. Stick with us next week. Another great edition of the Children's Hour is coming up next. But first, there's this. Dorutena busadiko bibido nerude bam bam manu sabido labido fetido nerude bam bam dorute bam bam nerute bam bam dorute bam bam nerute.